Welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, we'll enjoy the many art song settings of Emily Dickinson poems. She was born to a prominent Massachusetts family on December 10, 1830, and spent the bulk of her life inside her home in Amherst, dying there in 1886. Only 7 of her 1,800 poems were published during her lifetime. When we imagine Emily Dickinson, we tend to remember the rather stiff portrait of her and think only of her New England home and assume that she was prim and never had thoughts of love, sex, violence, or even ordinary human problems. On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, I hope to dispel those notions and will do so by letting you hear Dickinson's poems in more than one art song setting. Usually that means different composers who have set the same poem, but I'll begin with Love's Stricken Why in 2 versions by Ned Roram. Here's the poem. Love's stricken why is all that love can speak, built of but just a syllable, the hugest hearts that break. As usual, Dickinson leaves a lot for us to figure out for ourselves. What does the why refer to? Why do we love? Why did he abandon me? Why don't I understand him? And then that little one-syllable word, why, is compared with the hugest hearts, notice the alliteration, that break. So listen to the poem again, and then enjoy Roram's 2 famous settings. Love's stricken why is all that love can speak, built of but just a syllable, the hugest hearts that break. Emily Dickinson's Love's Stricken Why, set twice by Ned Roram and sung by mezzo-soprano Beverly Wolfe with the composer at the piano. The next Dickinson poem we'll examine is Wild Nights. Wild nights, wild nights, were I with thee, wild nights should be our luxury. Futile the winds, to a heart in port, done with the compass, done with the chart. Rowing in Eden, ah, the sea, might I but moor tonight with thee. Maybe this is graphic passion. Even the references to the wind and ocean seem to return to sex. When preparing the first edition of Dickinson's poems in 1890, after she had died, one of her mentors considered leaving this poem out, quote, lest the malignant read into it more than that virgin recluse ever dreamed of putting there, unquote. virgin recluse my eye. The word luxury at the end of the first stanza had a different meaning in Dickinson's day. It meant lust and gratification. And the heart in port certainly meant a lover's embrace, also referring to her marine terms, done with the compass, done with the chart, can suggest losing all control. Well, with these thoughts in mind, I'll read the poem again and follow it with four composers' different settings of it. Wild nights, were I with thee, wild nights should be our luxury. Futile the winds to a heart in port. Done with the compass, done with the chart. Rowing in Eden, ah, the sea, might I but moor tonight with thee.
Yeah.
Listening to Singing and Other Sins and a birthday celebration for Emily Dickinson, whose Wild Nights inspired the preceding four songs. First, we heard Lori Leitman's setting with Tanya Cruz-Wook, soprano, with Elena Abbott, piano. Then we heard a live Carnegie Hall performance of Leontine Price with David Garvey, piano, in the setting by Lee Hoiby. That was followed by the same poem, Wild Nights, written by Larry Allen Smith, who also played piano with soprano Cherie Kaluda. Finally, we heard Adriana Zabala with Greg Kallor, pianist and composer. After these wild songs stimulated by Emily Dickinson's words, let's hear some calm, introspective instrumental music.
Thank you.
That was the Elegy for Viola and Piano by Elliot Carter, with Richard O'Neill, Viola, and Anna Polonsky, Piano. On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, we're examining the various settings that a single Emily Dickinson poem can inspire. The next is Heart, We Will Forget Him. Heart, we will forget him, you and I, tonight. You may forget the warmth he gave, I will forget the light. When you have done, pray tell me that I my thoughts may dim. Haste, lest while you're lagging, I may remember him. In the poem, Dickinson tells the age-old story of lost love, losing your loved one, not necessarily by death, and getting over him or her is one of the hardest things a person has to do. This poem is a terse description of that scenario. There is a conflict between the thinking mind and the feeling heart. In the first line, the narrator addresses her heart as if it were a person who can act, listen, and feel. She believes that they, her logical self, her mind, and her heart, will forget him. She says her heart has to forget the warmth while she will forget the light. Warmth refers to affection, the passion, emotional side of her love, while light refers to the intellectual side of her love. Her love was enlightening, enabling her to see things that she could not see before. Finally, she asks her heart to hurry because when it, her heart, is lagging, her thoughts may drift back towards him. Heart, we will forget him, you and I, tonight. You may forget the warmth he gave. I will forget the light. When you have done, pray tell me that I my thoughts may dim. Haste, lest while you're lagging, I may remember him.
Heart, we will forget. get him. You and I, tonight, let me forget the world they gave. I will forget the night. When you have done, pray tell.
We began with Jocelyn Hagen's composition based on the Emily Dickinson poem Heart, We Will Forget Him, with Lynn Kaufman, soprano, and Sonia Thompson, piano. The second setting of the poem was sung by Jennifer Larmour, mezzo-soprano, with Antoine Pollock, piano. The music was composed by John Duke. Then we heard Danielle Werner, soprano, with Barbara Pickert, piano, in Robert Bax's composition. We ended with the most famous setting by Aaron Copland. Dawn Upshaw was the soprano, with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra conducted by Hugh Wolfe. Now it seems appropriate to have an interlude by Copland, the dance of the girl who moves as if in a dream. Marin Alsop conducted the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra in Copland's Dance of the Girl Who Moves as If in a Dream. Thanks, as always, for these instrumental selections to Dennis Moore. On this birthday edition for Emily Dickinson on Singing and Other Sins, we're hearing the various ways composers respond to her poems. To make a prairie, it takes a clover and one bee, one clover and a bee, and reverie. The reverie alone will do if bees are few. An imagined prairie, which she'd never seen, is as good as a real one. And such an imagined prairie represents the frontier with no limits, just like our imagination. To make a prairie, it takes a clover and one bee, one clover and a bee, and reverie. the reverie alone will do if bees are few. A much less contorted poem than many, but just hear how many different responses these composers had. Notice that the first one lasts almost 7 minutes, while the second lasts only 46 seconds. I'll name those composers and performers in reverse order. We just heard the Netherlands Chamber Chorus, conducted by Ed Spanjaard, and Rudolf Escher's composition based on Emily Dickinson's To Make a Prairie. Before that, we heard Carol Wilson, mezzo-soprano, with Adrian Sunshine conducting the Budapest Camerata in Ronald Pereira's composition to the same poem. The 46-second version was written by Ernst Bacon, who was also the pianist with Helen Boatwright, soprano. We opened the set with Virginia Dupuy, mezzo-soprano, and Shields Collins Bray, piano, in Peter Askham's 7-minute response to the poem. The next Emily Dickinson poem is more complex. There came a wind like a bugle, it quivered through the grass, and a green chill upon the heat so ominous did pass. We barred the windows and the doors as from an emerald ghost, the doom's electric moccasin that very instant passed. On a strange mob of panting trees and fences fled away, and rivers where the houses ran, the living looked that day. The bell within the steeple wild, the flying tidings whirled. How much can come, and much can go, and yet abide the world. This is one of Dickinson's many poems about nature. It tells the story of a strong storm coming and shows amazement at how well nature can withstand the gusts of winds while the storm creates havoc among the human objects. There's a biblical source which brings an apocalyptical aspect with the reference to the story of the fiery serpents in the Old Testament. Also, there's awe in the intersection between the antagonistic nature, its equivocal mystery, and exotic power that dazzles. In the end, nature guards its secrets. After she set the windy scene, at the end, she extrapolates grander truths. The bell in the tower doesn't fight the wind, but interacts with it and sends flying tidings. Both the bell and the wind do their job. In the final thoughts, Dickinson's The World exists separate from the things that may come and go. There came a wind like a bugle. It quivered through the grass, and a green chill upon the heat so ominous did pass. We barred the windows and the doors as from an emerald ghost, the doom's electric moccasin that very instant passed. On a strange mob of panting trees and fences fled away, and rivers where the houses ran, the living looked that day. The bell within the steeple wild, the flying tidings whirled. How much can come, and much can go, and yet abide the world.
Doors, as from an
flying tidings told. How much can come and much can go? And yet among the world,
there came a wind like a bugle. It blew the broom across and the green chill upon the heat, so all must it pass. We burned the windows and the doors as from an emerald ghost. The doom's electric magazine that the
settings inspired by Emily Dickinson's There Came a Wind Like a Bugle. First, Copland's music was sung by Jan de Gaetani, mezzo-soprano, with Gilbert Kalish, piano. Then we heard Bethany Beardsley, soprano, with Maury Ritt, piano, in George Pearl's composition. Finally, Leontine Price sang with David Garvey, piano, in Lee Hoiby's setting of There Came a Wind Like a Bugle. This has been the Emily Dickinson birthday edition of Singing and Other Sins. You may leave your suggestions and comments at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. There you can also find a link to many previous programs. This is your host and producer, Gary Hickling. Aloha.